Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, as we look at part of Matthew's account of some of the events of the birth of Jesus Christ and afterwards. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the account, the records, the Gospels have for us, your word, of the entrance into this world of your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, it's amazing but true. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us as individuals, us as families, us as a church family, for your goodness. Lord, we pray again for those over us in authority, as your word tells us to, may they have the mind of God, and Lord, may it be your will that is accomplished. Lord, I pray again for the graves. As they go, would you watch over them, keep them safe, bring them to their destination with joy in their hearts. For they have seen, Lord, how you've protected them, and they have seen how you've provided. And so, Lord, bless them, and help them to get settled in wherever they will be, and to become just wonderful lights, testimonies for the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who are living in darkness. And help us, Lord, to be the same, because even though we live here in this part of the United States, your word says the natural condition of man is darkness. So help us who know you to be a light to them in word and in the testimony of our lives. Lord, thank you for that. I ask your blessing on your word as it goes to our hearts and lives. And Lord, in our town, in other churches where your word is honored and proclaimed, would you bless it as well? Would there be hearts and lives changed by the gospel for their good eternally and for the glory of Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen. Many of you probably know the name Henry Blackaby. He is the one who penned the study Experiencing God. I had Nancy and I had the opportunity decades ago, before that all came out, to have him at a conference to hear him in person. And a great man of God, humble man of God, sharing with us things that he would later put into some of his writings. So in one of his books, Knowing and Doing the Will of God, he writes this. Some people say, God will never ask me to do something that I cannot do. You get that? God will never ask me to do something I cannot. I have come to the place in my life, he writes, that if the assignment I sense God is giving me is something that I know I can handle, I know it is probably not from God. The kind of assignments God gives in the Bible are always God-sized. They are always beyond what people can do, because he wants to demonstrate his nature, his strength, his provision, and his kindness to his people and to a watching world. That is the only way the world will come to know him. I like that. God-sized. If it's something that I sense God wants for me that I automatically think I can handle, it's probably not his will. Because through the scripture, I believe he's true. God gives his assignments that are much larger than the individual can tackle upon their own shoulders or can carry. And so we have this man, Joseph. He is not much we hear about in the message of Christ coming, but he is an integral part. And as one writer said, when I grow up, I'd like to be like Joseph. And I hope you see why by the end that we're done here. Joseph is an ordinary man, but God uses ordinary people to do his extraordinary will. Now, you don't hear much not only about Joseph, you don't hear much from him, because if you read through the accounts and you see Joseph some 12 years later, they're coming in the temple, it's Jesus' first time, and there he gets left behind at the temple, and they come back later, 12 years later, I think it's 12. But in all of that, you see Joseph there too. But there's not a recorded word out of Joseph in the entire Bible. Not one word. So was he basically the strong, silent type? And he didn't speak much? We do not know, because there's nothing recorded as to what Joseph says. However, we are given a window in this scripture as to what goes on inside him. So I want to start with him as a righteous man, because that's how the scripture starts. Verse 19. He was betrothed to Mary, and her husband being a righteous, verse 19, or a just man. Now, let me remind you or refresh you about the betrothal, because betrothed, to be married. See, they weren't officially married. We would call them, in our terminology, engaged. But a betrothal was much more serious in that culture and time than a mere engagement. A betrothal was a pledge to be married. Now, the marriage was arranged by the parents. So, young ladies, arranged by the parents. It was a process, and in the process, there was also the item of how much money was given to the young lady's parents for the daughter. It wasn't a payoff. It was because they were going to lose a daughter as one of their workers. And so money was given, almost like a dowry. There was a legal contract written up, and the details of the payment were signed and sealed and copies for all. And so after the contract was signed, it was a legal engagement, a betrothal. And the betrothal could last a day, it could last a year or longer. It was a binding arrangement voided only, this is a betrothal, only by death or divorce. And the death was from accident or something, or he goes off to war. But the divorce was not when you're engaged, well, let's just call it off. Let's just, I'm sorry, but I can't, let's just call it off. It wasn't that. The divorce was needing two witnesses. There was no time in court, but there had to be a written document and a fine paid to break the engagement, the betrothal. It was treated that seriously. As a matter of fact, if the engaged woman, betrothed woman, at some point by someone was raped, the rapist would not be considered as just a criminal, but treated as an adulterer, as if he caught someone's wife, and of course, he was put to death by stoning. It was that serious, engagement, betrothal. And that's why in verse 19, Matthew, the tax accountant, calls Joseph her husband, even though they are not formally married yet. It was that serious, a binding relationship. Now, he's a righteous man, upright, that is, he's a God-following, God-fearing follower of Jehovah. He is a moral man, he's law-abiding, he's commandment-keeping. We would call him a virtuous individual. And yet, verse 19, at some point, Mary breaks the news to him. Because in verse 19, he does not want to make her a public example of his wife, even though it's wife-to-be, who went and got herself pregnant. So I believe, and others do, that when Mary first told them, I am pregnant and here's how, Joseph becomes a skeptic. He doesn't buy it. And so, rather than put her up to public shame and disgrace, he does care for her. He does not want to see her killed for participating in adultery and put to open shame. So he was going to have her just divorced privately, to release her from the contract, to dissolve the arrangement, to do whatever would be necessary to unscramble this mess. And so, there's two clues to his skepticism. One is that he does not want to make her an example. Verse 20, there's a couple clues. Verse 20, we read in New King James, while he thought about these things. Now, we look at it and go, okay, so he considered, he thought about. But in the language, to consider or think, this particular word means to bring to a simmer in the mind. And all you cooks know what that means. To bring to a simmer in the mind. To think about. This is sort of an anger that's at a low boil. See, it's much more than think about. He is going through some very deep emotions at this time. Joseph is. He is skeptical of what she has said. Yes. Pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and the Easter Bunny leaves baskets, and Mrs. Santa Claus left some fruitcake too. He just doesn't buy it. And so he wants to put her away. Thinking about these things, an anger that boils at the simmering level. He's been lied to. That's what he thinks. He's been lied to by his more than fiancé. He didn't believe her, which is why he wants to privately divorce her. Another clue is that when the angel appears to him while he thought about these things, verse 20, the angel says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. What? Afraid of what? I mean, God knows and the angel knows, along with all that's going on inside of his soul at this time, there's a fear as well too. Do not be afraid. Afraid of what? That she will have a baby before they've been married 9 months, and then it's a simple matter of the neighbors doing the math? And in that culture, in that time, it was nothing like we have in our culture, in our time. Out of wedlock baby. At that point, it was extremely serious of what people would say, of being shunned, of maybe someone blaming possibly him for the pregnancy. And then the shame would be on the both of them. So he's trying to get out of this while he thinks he still can. And I don't know what he's going to do with her. Put her away, take care of her, have her sent somewhere where they don't know her. She would still be pregnant and be with child. So the angel said, don't be afraid. So it takes a message from an angel in a dream to convince him what she said was true. Now, dreams at this point are not like dreams that you and I have, where it's like, wow, what did I eat last night? And if you've been a pastor of a church for very long, you start having church dreams. Serious. Last night. And I confess in it, I really didn't know anybody who was there. And on one side, there was like lazy boys set up. And people were just kind of, you know, it's like. And I was looking for somewhere in Matthew. And because we went over Matthew in youth group last night. And had a good time. We had 11 young teenagers here for youth group. And we're just happy with what God is doing and all that. But we looked at another part in Matthew. And so it's like, Matthew, I'm looking for it. And I go to the congregation. I can't find it. I think this is my dad's Bible, and it's got the Apocrypha in it. So I need to go get my own to find Matthew. It's like I said, okay, bad pastoral bad church dreams. But then dreams were serious. They were treated seriously. It was something. So if we install recliners in the church here, no, just kidding. And so to be spoken to in a dream carried a lot of weight. And so it takes a message in a dream that he has from an angel to convince Joseph to get over his skepticism and his unbelief that she was not unfaithful to him, and she's telling the truth. Because look at what the angel says. To take to you, do not be afraid. And he calls Mary your wife. What is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son. You, Papa, you, Father, shall call his name Jesus. Jesus meaning Savior. For he will save his people from their sins. And so, who's his people? Those who believe. Those of Jewish origin who believe. Those of Gentile, that includes about all of us. Non-Jewish, who believe. Because when you believe in Jesus Christ, in trust and faith, you become one of his people. He will save his people from their sins. Like, wow, the angel is telling him in a nutshell, here's who your son will be, here's what he will do. Gospel. Jesus is going to come. For what reason? To save people from their sins. Message of the angel. And so verses 22 and 23 are what Matthew, as a writer, interjects. This is not what the angel says. This is what Matthew interjects by inspiration of the Spirit of God as to, well, this fulfills what the prophet says, this, Emmanuel, God with us, which is Jesus, God with us. The virgin will conceive. And so verses 24, you have Joseph waking up, and here's this man. now past his skepticism. You know, what does it take to convince some guys of some things? What does it take at times? You know, how soft? I mean, there's been books written, a whack on the side of the head and a kick in the seat of the pants. What does it take at times to convince some guys of some things? Well, this dream message to Joseph was the whack on the side of the head. Because when he wakes up, the man who is now skeptical, the ordinary man, now believes what his wife tells him. So you have this man becomes an obedient man. And not just at this point, but we'll see later, or you will see if you just read through, I'm not sure if we'll get there, that there are certain other dreams that God gives to Joseph, not Mary, to direct the life of the child so that he is not killed by King Herod's orders. So it's a dream, another dream. Time to go. Time to come back. This is the place to be. All by messages through dreams. So Joseph in this becomes an obedient man. Aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took to him his wife, and did not know her, did not have intimacy, physical relationships with her as his wife, did not, until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he, Joseph, called this baby's name Jesus. That's very interesting, isn't it? This is an ordinary guy. And what's he being asked to do? He's being asked to get out of the ordinary. I mean, put yourself in his shoes, guys. Somebody says, you're a couple walking down the street, a good friend comes and says, "Hey, I'm excited for you. I've heard, you know, you're going to expect another child." And you go, "No." And your wife goes, "Huh?" Okay, so what's going on? And so Joseph becomes an obedient man to take care of Jesus. I mean, who is God going to pick to take care, to be play that place in the life of his own son? Because his own son, Joseph, will go, "He's not my son. He's not of my flesh. He's of my wife's flesh, but not of mine." And he still raises him. Now, we don't know what happens with Joseph later. Because even if you follow through after those 12 years later and all, by the time Jesus hangs on the cross, it is to John the disciple that he says, concerning his mother Mary, "John, here is your mother. Mary, here is your son." To take care of her. So many scholars believe somewhere in there that Joseph passed away. Because everything else that we have about him as now, his character is, we see him being, continuing on being a law-abiding, virtuous, moral individual who is now living in obedience to God and raising his son. What a stretch! A God-sized assignment. It's hard to apply these things because the natural bent of us by just simply human nature is that if we sense that there's something that the Lord wants us to do, if we just, "I can do that." It may not be. Obviously, Joseph felt that at one point. "I cannot handle this." And then the word of God came to him through a messenger. So for us today, we have the Word of God. We have that. For God to give direction and leading into our lives by His Word. To obey Him in this. To follow through with what He says. To be what He wants us to be. As individuals. As men. Like Joseph. Even if it might pull us out of our comfort zone. As it did Joseph. But I believe God blessed him for it. Which is what we want. The blessings of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this portion. For your word. For Joseph. And how he becomes an example. And as far as we know, through the rest of Scripture, he carries through with it too. He's responsible. He simply carries through with what he's to do. Thank you, Lord, for that. And yet it's encouragement to us. Lord, if you can use someone ordinary, like Joseph, then you can use someone ordinary like us. Thank you, Lord. It's to your glory. It's to our good. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen.